In episode 92 of Pop Culture Weekly, I talk with the cast of Letterkenny, and then I talk with Jacob Sartorius. Let's go!
Welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon from iHeartRadio. Your pop culture news, views, reviews, and celebrity interviews on all the movies, TV, music, and pop culture you crave weekly. Here's Kyle McMahon.
Hello, and welcome to episode 92 of Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. I, of course, am Kyle McMahon, and I'm really excited for this week's episode. I love Letterkenny, and I love breathing. So what that means is that I'm interviewing the cast of Letterkenny, Andrew Hare, who plays Jonesy, Nathan Dales, who plays Daryl, Michelle Milet, who plays Katie, love her, and Dylan Playfair, love him, he plays Riley. So I talk with them today about the brand new season of Letterkenny on Hulu. It's season 10, which is crazy. And then I talk with Jacob Sartorius, who, wow, he is such an incredibly talented guy. Started out at like 13, becoming like a huge Musical.ly sensation, which is now like TikTok and Vine and YouTube. And, you know, he's got, almost a billion or a little bit over a billion views, billion with a B. So great episode today. And we're talking to him about his brand new documentary called Breathe, which is awesome. So let's start out with the cast of Letterkenny. I love Letterkenny so much. It's so funny. And it's available now exclusively on Hulu. Season 10 just debuted. You might have seen the video interviews of these when it came out a couple weeks ago. I guess last week? I don't know. You know, I'm like bad at math. I mean, I am bad at math, but also bad at time, apparently. So, all right. First up is Andrew Hare and Nathan Dales from Letterkenny. How you guys doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Good. Thank you so much. Thank you for speaking with me on Pop Culture Weekly with iHeartRadio. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to talk about Letterkenny. I love the freaking show, and you guys are amazing. For Jonesy and Daryl, what is it like to play these characters?
To play these characters, to play Jonesy's just been a wild ride. Dylan and I were talking about just recently how, you know, we started off playing junior hockey and our confidence was at an all-time high in season one. And we've kind of just been in free fall with a number of concussions on the way down ever since, just like in the best way possible. It's just our characters are very simple-minded. For obvious reasons, but it's fun to play within that framework. And specifically this season was a lot of fun. I found it a little refreshing that we were trying to retain our glory outside of hockey by flexing our butts to get Vidvok famous, spoiler alert. And, to play opposite of Tyler and Evan and was just a ton of fun. Those guys are very talented dudes. And it was just a refreshing season. I think everyone had a year off for not the greatest reason, but it was, I think we all came back and we're just so excited to see each other. And we, Jared and Jacob had more time to think through the season. And I think everything was just, we had like the refresher we needed coming into seasons 10 and 11 combined. And so, you know, it's just always a fun time.
And how about for you, Nathan?
Yeah. So playing Daryl is kind of hilarious. It's like I get to meld the parts of myself that I don't usually want to show people, like being a bit of a fool and a bit of a giggly kind of shithead and stuff like that. So I get to put that into the character, and then I get to play this character now for like 7 years and 10 and 11 seasons and stuff like that. So it's been a hell of a ride, and it's so much fun because it's a little bit freeing getting to getting to kind of slide into the more awkward version of myself as Daryl, that's the most fun. And being awkward around girls and being awkward around everybody and not really knowing anything and having my head up in the clouds. And man, I fucking love that so much. It's great.
Well, it comes out, you know, for both of you, it really, it is entertaining to watch and, you know, brings me joy and laughter. So I appreciate it, both of you. And I got to ask, so as an American, you know, I have friends that are in Canada, but they're more in the, in like Toronto, kind of the city sort of things. So my kind of stereotype, I guess, is that for you guys, especially in suburban and rural parts of Canada, hockey is like how we are, many of us, with for football. Is that kind of how it is, you know?
Yeah. I'll take the, Nate grew up in Calgary, which is obviously a city, but I grew up in St. George, Ontario, which was 3,000 people. And, and Jared's from Listowel. It's definitely, you know, the junior team, a small town, they rally around a junior team like they would in Texas, for like, you know, Friday Night Lights. It's hockey is a religion in a lot of ways in Canada. I don't know if we take it as far as Americans do with their football. I was just recently at a college game where it was University of Kentucky versus Iowa. And I was like, you're like, whoa, people love their football, but yeah, Canadians love their hockey. There's no doubt about it.
And
No,
please.
I was just going to say, I agree with him 100%. It's the same. It's the same sort of deal as I love the Friday Night Lights reference, buddy. It's the exact same thing. It's just like people take hockey very seriously up here. And for a lot of people, that's the only thing that matters to them. And then, you know, for a lot of people in the States, football is the only thing that matters. So, yeah, definitely. It's right on point with each other for sure.
And I love how, you know, both of you, and this is kind of going back to the first question. I love how both of you have said that you have parts of yourself that are coming out in these characters. That's got to be really fun. And especially when you get to meld it with, you know, Letterkenny really does do a lot of topical, you know, situations, you know, like the social media and the energy drink with last season. Is that part of what makes it attractive to you as artists?
Yeah. Whenever you can have a witty, I think Jared and Jacob and the whole cast do a really good job of being aware of what's going on in the world and taking that into our art and making it funny. But also I feel like every episode has a little nugget of wisdom that you can take away when they're approaching any subject. And I think one of the strongest things about Letterkenny is a very inclusive show. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter whether your sexual preference, what your ethnicity is, or whatever your story is, there are no bullies allowed in Letterkenny. And if there is a bully, they usually get beat up. So I think they have that same approach with, sorry, my cats, get out of here. They have that same approach with any topic they're dealing with. I feel like they kind of have an opinion on it, but they're also trying to show both sides of the coin. And then they don't try to be too judgmental or steer the audience one way or another. They kind of leave it up to the audience to decide what they want to take away from it. And I think that's a really great feature of our show.
I agree. How about for you,
yeah,
Nathan?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think just what Andrew said, I think it's nice to be able to touch on a certain pulse of like a social situation that's going on right now, you know, with the social media, with the energy drink, whichever you're talking about. To be able to talk about things that are in popular culture in the show that then is itself a part of popular culture is kind of weird and really fun to do as artists, as actors and stuff like that, to be able to participate in that and participate in the discussion and hopefully giving, like Andrew's saying, both sides of the coin to the discussion. So it doesn't have to be one way. It doesn't have to be the other way. We can all get along. We can all have, you know, certain opinions about things, but at the end of the day, let's hear them all and let's not be assholes to each other. Cause if you're an asshole to somebody in Letterkenny, you're going to get your ass beat. Right. So that's kind of the thing. So yeah, to be a part of that is great. And what Jared and Jacob have done and the other writers and the cast and everything like that, I think have handled those things very, very well. And again, showing both sides of the story and kind of leaving little nuggets of wisdom in there, but ultimately leaving it up for people to decide for themselves. And, you know, just because you're on the different side of the coin from somebody doesn't mean you have to hate them. you can just enjoy their opinion on pushing your side of the coin. Yeah, you get your ass kicked in that, Kenny. It's going to be great. Yeah.
Thank you both very much. I think the quote of the day is, just like I believe Gandhi said it before you, Nathan, is if you're an asshole, you're going to get your ass kicked. So. So thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too, Kyle. Have a good one.
Man, have a great afternoon.
Take care.
Loved talking to those guys. Really funny guys. Great guys too. And I love their characters on Letterkenny. I don't want to say it's a feel good show. It is a feel good show, but it's hysterically funny. And you know, you kind of feel good after it. When I say feel good, I don't mean like in the cheesy, like kind of way, but in any event, next up from Letterkenny, Michelle Mylett and Dylan Playfair.
Okay. Thank you. Well, first of all, welcome Dylan and Michelle to iHeartRadio's Pop Culture Weekly for Letterkenny season 10. Thank you guys for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having us. So nice.
Likewise. Bring us on.
Thank you. So I was just talking to the boys, and I was asking them, because this is interesting for me as somebody in America, is hockey, like, in your opinion, like football is for America in Canada, if that makes sense?
I would say very much so. Yeah, I think the comparisons are. Yeah, I would even venture. I would go so far as to say it's a lot more similar to lacrosse and like the lacrosse bro culture. However, the extreme obsession with the sport, I would think, lines up a lot more with football in the States.
I think that's an excellent way to put it. Is it's the lax bro culture with the religion of football?
Yeah.
I love that. And were either of you involved in hockey at all growing up?
Funny you should ask.
I know you were.
Hockey. Yeah, yeah. So I played junior hockey. My dad's actually an NHL coach. He's the assistant coach for the Edmonton Oilers. And my middle brother's one of the coaches for a university team out here. He played pro hockey. And my youngest brother also played semi-pro. So I come from a long line of hockey players. I grew up in a hockey rink, you could say that.
Absolutely. And how about for you, Michelle? Were you surrounded as well?
I mean, I think it's kind of hard not to be surrounded to an extent if you grew up in Canada. And I grew up in small town Canada. So a lot of the guys I went to school with played hockey. But my dad loves hockey, but he never played. He actually played football in the States and just university football, but still, and basketball. So that I kind of grew up more immersed in those sports, and like hockey's kind of new to me. But my current boyfriend is a huge hockey fan, Edmonton Oilers, shout out. And so I've been watching the game a lot with him, and just, I think you need to understand hockey to appreciate it fully, because it's so fast. It kind of just looks like a big mess. And now that I kind of know the rules, I'm just floored with the talent and the skill. It like blows my mind, to be honest.
Well, it's interesting because I'm not a huge sports fan. I mean, I played soccer and that sort of thing, but I'm not like this, you know, nut. But I absolutely love Letterkenny. I don't think that you have to be a sports fan to love the show. It's so funny, it's so current, and it's so inclusive, which I think is so needed, especially in times like these. What is it like for you as actors to be in a show that is, I mean, it's different in so many ways. It's, you know, it's hysterically funny, but it's got that heart as well, which I think isn't necessarily in a lot of shows today.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with the term inclusive. I think for as much, you know, banter and fighting and chirping as there is in the show, there's not really any bullies. Everyone is a part of the same community, and there's a ton of love there, and there's a ton of it. There's, you know, radical inclusion. And anytime there's someone in the show who's not abiding by those rules, that's generally, you know, a cause for the conflict that you see in the show. If there's ever anyone in trouble, the cast is there to support them and to get them out of of that tough situation. I mean, you see it a lot with Katie's character. You know, we're always there to back her up in any way, shape, or form. And you know, that's something that I think is really special about Letterkenny, is how much love and inclusion there is. And I think there's room for every person in that show. And you know, it's credit to Jared and Jacob for writing it that way.
And how about for you, Michelle? Yeah, especially being kind of on the other end of it sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it always is so lovely when you get to meet fans of the show and they're not maybe what you might expect. Like initially I was like, okay, small town, rural show, hockey, like that's going to be our kind of core audience. But it's just been so delightfully surprising to see all of these people. I met a man in the airport who's a university professor, is like wearing a suit. He was like really reserved and how much he loved Letterkenny. And you're like, oh, it's so cool. It's such a broad spectrum. And I think to speak to what Dylan, you know, just said so beautifully, it's such a kind show ultimately. Like, yes, we fuck with each other. Yes, like everyone kind of gets their fair share of getting ripped apart from time to time. But the most important thing is you don't kick somebody when they're down, and bullying isn't tolerated. So if it's getting to a point where somebody's really suffering or in real trouble, everybody comes together to make sure that that person's supported. And I, you know, I think everyone wishes that our world was a little bit more like that. So it's nice to watch it.
You know, it's funny that you said that at the end, because that's very much how I, you know, as I was thinking about it, is like, wouldn't we all want to live in a community like that? You know what I mean? Where, you know, we can mess with each other and even get into arguments internally. You're not allowed to say anything bad about her. You know what I mean? I'm gonna stick up for her ultimately and not let anybody really hurt the ones that we love. So, you know, kudos on being such a huge part of a great show like that. And finally, for you guys, it's so topical, which I think is also one of the things that makes it so great. You know, with the social media episode and the energy drink episode, is that fun for you as artists to be a part of a show that does that sort of thing, that is so timely and but yet also not not, I'm totally drawing a blank, it's not expired. You know what I'm saying? I could watch it 5 years later.
It's not too on the nose.
Exactly.
But it, like, takes, yeah.
I mean, I'll give you some context for the VidVoc episode, where Andrew and I's characters, Riley and Jonesy, are flexing our butt cheeks to various songs. I mean,
and they look great, Dylan. I haven't said that to you, but congratulations.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. I know Herzy, he called me after. So we got a text from Jared asking if we could flex individual butt cheeks. That was it. That was the only context we got. And we just thought, oh boy, what does this season have in store for us? So, you know, being friends with the creators of the show and being friends with the cast offset sort of allows for this back channel dialogue before the season starts, as far as like what we'll be doing and the sort of, you know, stuff we should be prepared for. And I can definitely say that this is the first show that I've been asked to prepare to hike my shorts up my butt cheeks and flex one bum cheek at a time. And, you know, it's poking a little bit of fun of that, you know, social media culture where you see some, you know, anyone who, you know, seems to, you know, expose some skin and put it to some good music can get a pretty good following. But it's just, it was so funny. And you ask if it's fun for us as artists, it's definitely the most fun show that I've ever been a part of, because not only is the content hilarious, but the people that we're making it with, we genuinely have a ton of fun offset. I mean, I don't know if we laugh more filming the scenes or offset, you know, just being together. So to have that that genuine chemistry and then to be able to poke fun at the world and do it in as tasteful a way as you can while you've got your shorts hiked up your butt cheeks. I mean, hey, anything for the show, man, anything for the greater good, you know?
Yeah. I feel like Jared and Jacob have this incredible way of kind of commenting on what's going on in the world in a way that isn't patronizing to people. It's right. Like little comments, like one of my favorite lines of the newest season is when Jared says, I'm going to you know, butcher this, but it's something to the effect of, well, it's okay that people have different opinions. I mean, it's just like this, or like different perspectives. And it's this sort of throwaway line, but our world is so polarized at the moment and everybody's just completely at each other for having a different viewpoint or coming from a different background or whatever it is, that instead of going like, let's talk about the pandemic, Jared and Jacob just create these situations where people may be doing things that we're all currently doing in our lives that are destructive, and then squashing it and commenting on it in a way that like just kind of makes you go, oh yeah, like it's that simple. Like, respect other people. It's okay to disagree, and you can still like shake hands and have a beer together. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I love that. Like, that's like one of my most favorite things that they're able to accomplish with the show. And it just like means a lot to me.
And it means a lot. Oh, I'm sorry, Dylan.
No, I was just going to say, doing it through the medium of comedy too, where I think, you know, the way that they've been able to write these shows and tackle these complicated issues and, you know, really do so unscathed is a testament to how well thought out these plot lines are. I mean, I don't think you can watch a single episode and feel like any one group of people was marginalized or made to be the butt of a joke, because they're fully fleshed out characters. Their, you know, human emotions are really recognized, and you know, there's just a lot of like logicking. There's this term, logic it to death. If you take this complicated subject and you cover all the bases and you approach it from a place of like, we don't want to hurt anyone. We want to protect those we love. We want to have fun while we're doing it. We want to make jokes. But at the end of the day, as you mentioned, it's like it's family, and you go to bat for family. That's a cool thing about the show, is that there's not ever a moment where you feel like this group of people was picked on, because they just it doesn't stand in Letterkenny.
I love that. It's one of the many reasons I love the show, and of course the both of you's contribution to it. Thank you so much for speaking with me. Letterkenny season 10 is out right now on Hulu in the States. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Kyle. It was nice meeting you.
You as well. Have a great day.
Love those guys. I love Canadians, by the way. They're just so amazing, aren't they? Like, they're nice and like, I don't know. I just love Canadians. In any event, really, really, really great season of Letterkenny this year. If you have not seen it, you can, you know, like ever seen it, you can watch all the seasons right now on Hulu and the newly debuted season 10. So go watch it. You're really, really going to like it. I truly believe that it's really a funny series. And all right, let's go. Next up, Jacob Sartorius. I don't even know how to, you know, get into him. He is so unbelievably talented. Started, you know, music theater loving kid that found a way to express himself through like Musical.ly and Vine, and blew up, you know, doing these videos, these lip sync videos, and kind of branched out from there and just really blew up. Released a song that hit the Billboard Hot 100 charts. Went on numerous tours, both, you know, U.S. tours and international tours. Has a ton of merchandise. Has a ridiculous amount of views. And went through a period of, you know, some anxiety and depression like so many of us have. And, or, you know, have struggled with at some point of our lives. And was changed by learning the Wim Hof method, which Wim Hof, the Iceman cometh, you know, legendary guy who Mike Posner talked about as well in my interview with him. And he made a documentary called Breathe. And so we're going to talk about his career and his new doc, Breathe, and Wim Hof, and what we can look forward to next from Jacob. So here it is, my interview with Jacob Sartorius. All right, so I am here with the one and only Jacob Sartorius. I can't thank you enough, man, for joining me on iHeartRadio's Pop Culture Weekly.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Of course. So first of all, let's go a little bit back, if you will. You got your start really through Musical.ly, which is now TikTok. You also did a lot on Vine, and you kind of exploded. You really grew a following through those, you know, apps, through those social media networks. Did you ever think when you were making those videos, lip syncing and stuff, that this would be turn into a career?
Yeah, because okay, so that's definitely when people first tuned in for sure. But I grew up in musical theater from around age 7 onward, and I was always a theater kid. So I loved singing and acting, and that was one of the ways to relate to people that, you know, happened to be the way that gained the most exposure. But I didn't think it would happen that way. And it was a blessing. And I started pretty much releasing music around that same time. I dropped Sweatshirt at 13, and that kind of was a big help to everything as well. And just been having fun since.
Yeah, and Sweatshirt hit the Hot 100 on Billboard, which must have been crazy for you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, independently putting out a single and then it doing something like that is not something you expect, but was a blessing, and I'm thankful, man.
Yeah, it's I'm happy for you that all this has happened. You know, when you were doing those Musical.ly videos, Vine videos, you kind of said you were just trying to, you know, bridge your love of theater and music and performing into cool things that you could put online. What did you ever think, you know, as you were making these and as this started growing, did you ever like realize the impact, the amount of people that it was hitting?
I did realize after a little while of doing it. I think it took a while, but I think it was like after I realized people were sending me messages like, hey, I want you to know, like, I look forward to your videos. I look forward to your live streams. I look forward to your music. I look forward to anything that you do because I relate to you. And I feel like we have a real connection. And that was something that I had never processed like that before. And I realized that I think this is all coming from a big need to want to relate. And, you know, from my past and from times where I felt hurt, I feel like I'm able to use that and almost as empathy and relate to others who are going through similar experiences at home. And the power of social media is fantastic that we're able to be anywhere and relate. And this is a really special experience and time. So in the industry as well, just with social media, it's super cool.
Absolutely. You can, you know, I was in Key West last week for my cousin's wedding, and I was doing my on-air segments and the social media segments literally from the Gulf. You know what I mean? Like I'm like at where the Atlantic Ocean and the Gulf meet, and I'm on the beach and recording my social media things. And I'm like, I texted back here and I was like, you know, I could do this from here all the time. Like, I don't need to be, you know what I mean? It's pretty incredible.
You know, I could do it from anywhere. Like, the power's in the iPhone or whatever.
Absolutely.
Technology. Absolutely.
So, you know, you really started to hone this craft, this one side of you. Obviously, you're, you know, multi-talented and you know, you release Sweatshirt and have been doing musical projects. And then recently, just a week or so ago, you released a documentary called Breathe, which is absolutely incredible. And I'm so happy that you are talking about it because this needs to be talked about more. I've suffered anxiety, you know, my entire life. And the more people that speak openly and honestly about it, I think the more it becomes destigmatized. Why was it important for you to open up like that? It makes, you know, make yourself vulnerable.
Like you said, I had been through some experiences personally that had ended up with me on prescription medication for years that I didn't really need to be taking. And I do want to say in some cases like my own, there's times where it's just very general medication and there's other healers that are out there as options and you don't have to go straight to that. But whereas in the space, there's also great new medicine that helps in cases where it's very needed and it's a blessing to the space. But in my personal case, what brought me to this and how I found this was actually through one of my therapists. You know, I was talking to him and I was kind of stuck in a drought, you know, like I said, on prescription medication. I didn't really see another path outside of that. I thought, okay, I'm going to have to do therapy my whole life because that's that. And I didn't see a resolve. I didn't see anything out there that was in my control. It was more like I'm going to these resources, but I'm never able to really grasp anything or go past thinking into feeling. And one of my therapists was kind enough to let me know, hey man, I think you'd really benefit from this Wim Hof breathing. And shout out to Dr. Saylor, coolest guy on earth. Yeah, he sent me a guided breathing link, and it was actually a free link on YouTube, which are out there. And that's now what I use every day when I'm not with Wim Hof. But that's how I got into this. And he was like, yo, it's just deep breathing. And I was like, look, I'm willing to do anything to feel better. I've tried many things that aren't good for me to feel better. If you want me to take some deep breaths, which is a free thing to do, breathing's free, you know, it's just something we do. We often take shallow breaths, but when you're conscious of it, immediately you start oxygenating the body and the brain. So I was fascinated. I was like, yes, of course I'll try this. I clicked onto it immediately, put my headphones in, and I started breathing. And it was deep breaths. It was... And immediately I was starting to feel my nerves slowly go down. I'm one of the guys, my hands are sweating. I'm constantly having panic attacks. I have severe anxiety disorders, and I can sometimes never put a stop to it once it starts. Obsessive thinking, all of these different things. And it felt like I was stuck in a trap. And this allowed me to almost put like a big tarp down in front of the world and allow me to be with myself for a second and actually get a different perspective on the things that in my head and in normal life, I was actually kind of overthinking or getting anxieties about. You know, oftentimes we're overthinking the past or worrying about the future. But if we're able to hone into that present moment, which is so hard to do, and it's not even something you're able to do every time when the breathing happens. But I was blessed that my first experience with the breathing was so powerful that I stuck to it. I started doing it every single day. I actually became so obsessed with Wim Hof, whose method this is, the Wim Hof method, which is cold exposure mixed with breathing. And through the breathing, I was so fascinated by what he's doing that I reached out on Instagram. I sent him a DM. I go, yo, man, I'm a huge fan. You are my idol. And the one person that I look at as a superhuman. And I would love to do something to help bring this to my generation, to my fans, because this may be something they don't know as a resource yet. You know, if they're going through what I'm going through, and, you know, a lot of times things could be looked at, as Wim Hof says, you know, it's almost like they've sold our health to an industry. Mm-hmm. And that can be really a upsetting thing to hear for some people, that they might be sacrificing some of our feelings for something. It's like, why wouldn't they let us know about these great free resources that are out there that are natural healers, instead of just kind of pushing to one thing? What they're all, you need to do what's best for you. I can only speak on myself, because every instance is different, but I've been blessed, and I think it's a good resource for anybody out there to know that, you know, taking deep breaths, you will feel it. You'll go past your conditioning.
Well, and like you said, you know, and I'm glad that you said it. There is a time and place for medicine, and some situation. I'm currently on medicine now, and you know, I get on it when I need to, and I get off of it under the care of a doctor when I'm ready to as well. But some of these resources are free and easy, so why not try it? You know what I mean? What do you have to lose besides 5 minutes of trying out, you know, a video like this? I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer for anybody going through it. If it doesn't work for you, that's great. Mark it off the list, but you've got to try it. Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know one person that I've told about this breathing that's tried it and set aside that 20 minutes in that day and goes, I regret doing that. You know, they might never do it again, but it's a good thing to try and to know that it's out there. And also this cold exposure is really good too. I know the documentary is called Breathe, but in that documentary, we do take an ice bath. And that was my first time really stepping into the cold like that. I mean, he broke the top layer of ice real quick, held up the sheet of ice before we got in there. And I was like, oh, he's legit. Like, this is no gimmicks. This is real. He lives in the cold. He's the Iceman. Like,
yeah. And I, as I saw that, you know, I was all down with the breathing. I take insanely long, insanely hot showers. The second I saw that, I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, it seems foreign to me. I mean, I would try it, but I'm like, oh my God, that's never even crossed my mind. So I was glad to see you try it. And, you know, I loved your genuine reaction that, you know, and I won't spoil it, but your reaction was very authentic. And I feel like that would have been me, you know what I mean? So kudos to you for talking, not only talking the talk, but walking the walk.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And you know, it's amazing how, and this is just kind of generalized, it's amazing how important breath is, but how we take it literally for granted. I work with this great team, Dr. Ryan Robinson at the Pain and Sleep Therapy Center, and they have basically been teaching me how to breathe, and I've been doing it wrong my entire life. You know, and it's pretty incredible how, as you said, I've been shallow breathing, which is so bad for us. And even like, you know, wearing a mask around here, we have mask mandates and stuff. And, I noticed when I breathe through my nose, like we're supposed to, in general breathing, that, I can wear a mask much easier when I'm breathing properly than when I'm not. And so I've told a few friends that are like, oh, I hate this. I start, you know, getting out of breath, wearing a mask and stuff. And I'm like, look, just breathe through your nose, breathe out through your nose, just like, you know, and that's just one part of it. It's amazing that we have kind of unlearned these things as we've gotten older. You know, something from when we're an infant to, you know, later in life has been lost on so many of us where we have forgotten how to breathe. And then you get to something like this, you know, with the Wim Hof method, where, you know, there's nothing magical about, I mean, the effects are obviously, feel magical and are very real, but it's not like you're taking some secret potion or something. I mean, it's just something that we can do wherever we are with, we don't need anything else. You know what I mean?
It's this simple. It's 30 to 40 deep inhale, exhales. After the last exhale, a pause, hold for until you feel the urge to breathe. Once you feel the urge to breathe, a deep inhale, squeeze to your head. And that's one round. And that's how easy it is. It's a breathing, and there's so many free guided ones all over YouTube that you can find. And that's what I use. And it is cool to think that these are tools that we used from, I mean, we already know how to breathe when we're born, but it's almost like we unlearn these things through life, whether it's through our experiences, whether it's through, and we don't really know exactly what it is, but it's something that we've like, we've trained our bodies to be this way, and we can untrain that is what Wim Hof's telling us. So I think it's a great resource for people out there. Like you said, it's not some magical potion that you take and you're all better, but it's a great thing. And it can bring a lot of inner peace that might not be there. And you might not even know is within. That's what's cool. I didn't know a lot was within. I didn't know it was possible.
I love that. And you traveled all the way. It was, Amsterdam or Sweden, where was it?
Amsterdam.
And you did the thing. I mean, you put yourself 110% into it. And I love that you did that, because not only was it, you know, you're taking a chance because it's scary. You don't know what to expect. You're like, is this really going to work? Is this going to help me at all? Is this a waste of time? But you did it anyway, and it is a life changer.
Yeah, it really was. And I'm blessed to have had that experience. And I'm very thankful to Wim and his team for letting us come there and film that experience and bring it to you know, this younger generation, and it's been a blessing. And it's seeing people's messages, I didn't know this was out there as a technique. Thank you. That's enough already. And it gives me like chills thinking about it, but this makes this the most special thing I've ever done. And the most important thing to me that I've ever done. You know, I produced this, conceptualized it, and I brought my good friend Sam Cahill, who filmed it. And we really did this. And it was a full circle moment, and almost like closing a chapter on maybe a time where things were a little uneasy, and hopefully bringing others with me that want to come. And we're all on this journey together. It's not, we're all not going to be better like this, but we can all strive to be better together. And that builds communities and love.
Absolutely. You know, it's so much easier and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about, social media. It's so much easier. It's so much harder when you think you're going through these things alone. And then when you start talking to people and, oh, wait, you have anxiety too? Oh, you've had a panic attack? Oh, like you
so nice to like, just it humanizes it. Like, oh, we all go through this. A lot of times people are a little bit afraid to say it, but it takes that one person to just say, hey, I'm struggling. And somebody else goes, wait, me too. I've actually been through something similar. And then you're like, whoa, I'm not as alone. And it's such a beautiful thing, but it can be scary. But vulnerability is beauty.
It really is. I'm sorry.
Oh, and it's true strength, vulnerability.
It absolutely is. Have you read Brené Brown's book, The Power of Vulnerability?
I haven't, but I will write that down.
Yes, actually. The Power of Vulnerability. It will. It fits right in your wheelhouse and where you are on the path right now. It's absolutely crazy. The gist of it, she says, is that, you know, vulnerability is essentially what terrifies us, but is also what moves us forward, both success-wise, but also personally. You know, if you're not vulnerable, how can you really ever get what you want? You have to take a chance and say, you know, I'm terrified. I have anxiety attacks. I don't know how to handle this. What do I do in order to move beyond that? And the book is so great, and it goes right along with everything you're talking about.
I'm going to check that out. I wrote that down in my notes.
Awesome.
I'm excited.
Awesome. So what has the response been? I mean, I know I absolutely love the documentary. What is the response that you've gotten been so far to Breathe?
It's actually been amazing. You know, it hasn't been a thing where we put this out looking to get like numbers, you know, it was more how many people we directly impact. And this has been by far the most impactful thing I think we've ever done. I've had family, friends reach out that don't like that hardly reach out like, hey, our whole family watched this and we're so proud of you. And we love what you're doing. And to just see that, feel that support that might not have been there all along from these people that are like, you're doing something, you're onto something, bro. And I'm like, it feels good. Thank you. And this is just scratching the surface, and I'm just appreciative for this opportunity. I haven't done nearly what I want to do. We're conceptualizing a lot of other really cool things right now. And the whole goal is to heal others and to just work with like-minded people that want to help heal the world. So it's going to be cool.
Yeah. We need more healing and unity and less division and polarization. You know, it's not only is it, you know, politically and all that, but psychically, you know, it hurts our minds. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah. I think if everyone was happy, or at least like genuinely, like most of the time happy, we'd all be like nice to each other.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if we can all find that inner peace, like the world would all be really, it would be a beautiful place. It is a beautiful place, but we just got to all wake up and realize that we have it. Yeah. It's everything we need is already right in front of us. It's just time for us to all wake up.
I love that. Do you follow Mike Posner at all?
I do. I really like Mike Posner. His walks, he follows the Wim Hof method.
Yes.
He's gone and seen Wim Hof. I actually saw that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's incredible. He's one of my favorite artists, and I've, you know, hung out with him a few times and interviewed him actually for the show. And, he is just, you and him both. I love that you both have that forward thinking, you know what I'm saying? Where it's not about the numbers and, you know, if this one's going viral or whatever, it's about how many people can we help? How many people can we make think just a little bit in a different way today and maybe make their lives a little better? And I love that. So
thank you so much. And he's a legend also in songwriting. I mean, that dude is like the GOAT. Yeah. So, I mean, boyfriend for Bieber, like this guy is the man.
Yeah.
Cooler Than Me will always be one of my favorite songs.
Mine
Shout
too.
Out to Mike Posner. Yo.
Absolutely. Wow. He is a GOAT. So you're working on music now. What, when can we expect a project with that?
So I dropped my last EP independently October 1st. I'm still independent. I plan to stay independent for as long as I can. I'm dropping a single, Fear of Intimacy. I teased it on TikTok, actually. I was planning on teasing two songs, this song Worth It and the song Fear of Intimacy. And we put out Fear of Intimacy teaser first, and it like really did well. So we just like, I was like, guys, we need to get a pre-save link for it. And we're rushing that one out. It's coming out February 2nd. So 2.2.22. And I think 2222 symbolizes like peace and harmony and things aligning. So it's just a coincidence. But Fear of Intimacy is the next single to come out. And I'm working on finishing up an EP right now that'll be independent, hopefully in the next couple of months. That'll be out.
Awesome. And you have done, you know, road work. You've done shows and stuff before. Is that some now, especially now that you have not just music, but you have, you know, breathing and all kinds of good stuff in the mix. Are you, you know, looking at going back on the road at all again?
Absolutely. That's like one of my favorite parts of this whole thing is being on the road, seeing that connection face to face, you know, I loved it. I love doing it. So as soon as I can get back out there, I'd love to. I know that I want to put out a lot more music because I've toured. So I've done like quite a amount of shows before, but playing a lot of the same songs. And I think it's time that I come back on tour a couple years later with a whole new set list. Of course, I'll play Sweatshirt in those songs that people want to hear like that. But, you know, pretty much a new show. And also, like you said, maybe find a way to incorporate that breathing in there to give people a real experience while they're at a concert.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Jacob, I look forward to everything that you do. I look forward to your single on the 2nd and the EP after that and a tour to follow after that. Please come on, man, whenever you want. Come on the show. You always got a spot here, brother.
Thank you so much, Kyle. This is awesome. This whole experience. Thank you for taking the time and watching the documentary.
Of course, man. It was a gift for me to watch it. You know, it really was your gift to me to watch it. I absolutely love it. So thank you for that. Appreciate you.
Wow. Like, this kid is like so wise beyond his years. And I'm so glad that he's using his platform, you know, to talk about what he's going through and really change lives. I mean, that's what it comes down to, is that he is going to change lives. He is changing lives with the work that he's doing now, and he makes it fun and entertaining on the way. So kudos to him. And I really do, you know, I it's an open invitation for him to come back on for his next project and talk again. All right. Well, that is episode 92 of Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. I am looking forward to seeing you next week. If you enjoyed the show, please, if you haven't yet, go and review it on Apple Podcasts. It really, really, really helps. I'm telling you, it helps grow the show. It puts it out there more. And we can continue to bring you, you know, great guests and videos and articles and all that stuff. And it keeps my job here at the iHeart, you know. So in any event, I'll see you next week. I love you. We out.
Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Weekly. Hear all the latest at popcultureweekly.com.
Oh, Canada. Oh, Canada.